on Cambridge 105 Radio. With the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Hello and welcome to a 105 Sports special here on Cambridge 105 Radio, providing you with the latest update on the coronavirus and its impacts in local sport. I'll be chatting to Cambridge United head coach Mark Bonner this evening on the state of affairs at the Ute. How are the players getting on after a week of self-isolation? Is the club managing to cope financially? All will be revealed in the next 30 minutes. We'll also have a chat about some of the excellent community work the club are doing as well, alongside the Community Trust. Well, we'll also be hearing from Cambridge Rugby's Ben Penfold. He joins us too to discuss how the rugby boys are spending their time off. We'll also review the season as it is now done and dusted. Cambridge finished 9th out of 16. We'll round up that season, their brilliant winning streak in the middle of the campaign, and what Ben is trying to do to stay in pristine condition, as the rugby boys like to do. And we'll also be hearing from Saucelton and Babram Cricket Club captain Dan Heath as I debate the prospect of whether or not we will see any cricket this summer at all with him. We'll talk local cricket and diverge onto a little bit about the county game as well. Usually at this point I say, if you want to get in touch, you can do. Well, you can get in touch. 07919 070 490. That's the number to text. But I won't see the text this evening. I'm broadcasting this from my home, so I'm not in the studio this evening. Probably best to get in touch on social media. Then at least I will still see your contributions at 105 Sport on Twitter and Facebook. The place to do so. So a bit of a different surrounding for myself this evening, but we're still talking all local sport. My name is Ollie Snack. Thanks very much for joining me. Let's get started then with the Ute. And as I mentioned, they announced a couple of weeks ago the entire first team playing and coaching staff would be in self-isolation for 7 days after one player was exposed to someone who had tested positive to the virus the week before that. No member of the first team had shown symptoms, though, but they had to, of course, take precaution measures, and it resulted as well in Clare College sports ground being shut for 7 days as well. So I caught up with Mark Bonner about that, about how the players are coping, how the injury situation has developed, and also about the financial implications of this break and the excellent work, as I said, the Community Trust are doing as well. So, Mark, let's start off with, firstly, how are you feeling? It's a strange time for everyone, it seems, this period of time away from the game. How are you coping?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. No real dramas this end. And other than the change to routine and the sort of structure of life changing slightly during this period of time, coping fairly well and just trying to do as much as we can to support other people during this period.
The latest from the EFL, is it that we're postponing the season until the 30th of April? Is that the latest you've heard?
That was the latest at the end of the last meeting last week. Since then, obviously, the government have announced this more stringent social policy around distancing and almost that this lockdown for a three-week period. And training to resume from sort of the 6th of April had been mentioned as well. But that was before this government speak on the weekend. So, or early part of this week. So therefore, I think that may change. It wouldn't surprise me if that ended up being pushed back further. And the way you sort of see things escalating at the moment is difficult to put a time frame on that. And we're just waiting, like everybody, to be led by the people above. And I think that's the biggest problem for most people at the moment, is just dealing in the uncertainty around employment, around contracts for players, around training dates, if you like, for a football team, or organising the next fixtures, and from the club's point of view, for organising and trying to work out where the next income comes from to everybody in their own personal lives. I think that uncertainty is the problem at the moment.
And it's been a bit of a while now since the last game, almost a month or so. Has it been a good time for you to reflect in hindsight, a welcome break in a way, a nice time off?
I don't know about a nice time off or a welcome break. It's about using the break the best we can. We certainly wish we weren't in this situation, obviously. And you've got to use the time the best you can. For one or two injured players, they'll be fairly pleased with the break because they won't miss so many games and they may get themselves back to their game. But also the implications of this and the consequences of this break, we don't really understand the full severity of that at the moment. What it has allowed us to do is probably reflect and spend time analysing performances, analysing where we've been over the last 6 or 7 weeks, and starting to try and plan in a little bit more detail for the future and be a little bit more creative, I think, has been really important. Often in the hustle and bustle of a season, and certainly in my situation for the last 6 to 7 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, you know, that creativity sometimes gets stifled because you're always dealing with the next thing in front of your face. And it just highlights the importance of having time to reflect and be creative and make sure you can collaborate and come up with new ideas together. And we're trying to use that to the most of our ability to help us as and when we do come back.
And in terms of the reflection, what did you reflect on your first 7 games in charge? 4 wins, a draw and a couple of losses.
Yeah, I think there's so many things that you reflect on. I think ultimately in those situations you deal with how do we get the best out of the team now? What do we need right now? And in the immediate part, it was right to do what we did with the team and to make ourselves really hard to beat. We got a really good reaction out of the players in that first instant period. And they really showed their worth and got behind the cause at the time, which was we need to get points quickly. As that's evolved and time moves on, we've probably changed the team once or twice, maybe through necessity, through injuries and bits and pieces as well. And we've had a couple of disappointing performances in the last few games as well. But I also think it's very easy to overreact that. Very rarely do you see teams go on unbeaten runs in our level or consecutive wins for a period longer than we did. So sometimes it is just the course of a season that that happens. And we have to try our best to level out and get more consistency in our game. But what the last 2 results and performances did is probably highlight how good the first 4 were. So I was probably less stressed and worried about those than maybe other people were, understandably. But what we have to make sure is when we do get back, finish the season as strongly as we can with whatever situation we find ourselves in, and we just use the time now to build ahead for next season. That's where we're in a position in the middle of the table that probably gives us an opportunity that other clubs don't have. And this break is whilst a real struggle financially and also just for people in terms of losing that routine structure. Because of the competition, it's less dangerous a break for us than it is for maybe those at the top or bottom end of the table really fighting for something this season.
With regards to the season as a whole, do you have a preference with how you'd like the 2019-20 season to be resolved? There's lots of talk, isn't there, about whether it should be null and void or whether possibly the season should be fit in later on during the summer if hopefully we do get back around June, July time. Do you have a preference at all?
Two things. I think the Premier League and the Football League have outlined a massive desire to complete the season. And I understand all the reasons as to why, because there'll be financial implications and integrity questions if and when it isn't completed. By the same token, you can see why people would say, right, it needs to just stop the longer it goes on, because the implications and consequences around player contracts and sponsorship and funding and the next season could be massively impacted as well. Right now, it isn't a huge priority, and it is for us, obviously, but in the wider community, there's so much more that needs focusing on. From my perspective, I do understand, you know, if you're at the top of a table or towards the bottom, you want to maintain that integrity of a competition, then it needs to be completed. However, I don't envy the people that are having to make those decisions right now. One, because they're in the dark, knowing timescale, what can happen and when. And two, because it's going to be impossible to please everybody. We just need to stay focused on ourselves, look after each other in this short period of time, support the club, support the community, and get through this difficult stage together and pick up the pieces competition-wise and season-wise as and when that comes. And what we will have to do is we're going to have to be really flexible and adapt, because things are going to be different in the future for sure than maybe we thought they were a month ago.
And how are the players, Mark? I think there was an announcement on the 16th of March that the players and the coaching staff were in self-isolation for 7 days. I assume no one has tested positive since then or conditions has digressed in any way at all. Are you in regular contact with them as well?
Yeah, everybody's in good health. Frustrated, obviously, bit worried and a bit anxious about what's happening next. As I said, we've all sort of lost that structure and routine, and people have families to look after as well. So there's that side of things. I'm in regular contact with the players. They've got programs that they can work on, but you know that's limited as to how much they can do at this period of time when gyms and leisure centres are shut and you're allowed out once a day to go and do something. So we know there's a detraining effect going on there, and when they come back, we'll need to
get some really good football conditioning in to prepare for the next game. But in the short term, we just need to keep in contact with each other, be there to support people when we can, and try and be as supportive as we can and show empathy towards everybody's individual situations. But nobody's suffering at the moment in terms of their physical health, if you like. And long may that continue. And hopefully, look, we can get ourselves back playing games soon. But we can't do that until it's safe and sensible to do so. And we'll be led by all those above us first before we do anything.
And obviously, health comes before anything in terms of priorities. But is the most challenging aspect of this period for them probably their mental and physical well-being in terms of making sure they're staying fit over this period of time and also trying to find things to occupy their day? Because, like you said, they're so used to their routine, suddenly that's been taken away from them.
Yeah, and we don't want to make this just... Obviously, we're talking about footballers and football clubs here, but, everyone's going through that same situation. Yes, keep on top of fitness, but it's impossible to come back as fit as when we left. The distance and the time between the last training session or last game and the next session or game is too big to stay fit. When you can't do group training sessions, you try and keep yourself in good physical health, but they will be less fit, if you like, and will have lost some fitness in that period of time. That's just natural, and shouldn't be worried about too much. It's just like an off-season, really. You try and keep yourself as fit as you can, and you come back and have a real hard training few weeks to get yourself up to speed again. So that's a process that we're used to, just at a different time to normal. And we almost have to see this as an off-season period, especially the longer it goes on. On the other hand, when you can self-isolation, you can deal with that less training time for a week. And it starts to go into 2, 3, and 4 weeks. It is almost the equivalent of an off-season, and you are going to lose that physical fitness to a degree. I think the other side of that, the mental well-being, is really important, and that's for everybody, to try and remain and keep some structure and routine to your day. Let's be honest, we're being asked to stay indoors, but we've got every technology we need to keep us company, keep us busy. There's plenty to do. Yes, people will get bored, but we could be in much worse situations. And what we have to do is try and keep ourselves focused, keep ourselves busy, support other people around us, use the opportunity to learn and to develop and to reflect and to think as best we can and to plan as best we can, and make the best of a really bad situation. And as and when the time comes when we can all create that community and get together again, I think it will be really good. And the stadium, the next game, I'm sure will be full and really vociferous because people will be desperate to watch football again. But right now, that seems as if that could be a while away.
Yeah, we'll come on to the community aspect in just a bit because that seems to be a real key aspect of what the youth are doing at the minute. With regards to injuries though, just lastly on the players, obviously they can't get out on the grass as much as they'd like, but I guess if anything it just gives them time to heal and really sort out those previous knocks and niggles that they might have had.
Of course, most injuries do heal to some degree with time and with rest and recuperation. Obviously they can still work on their programs to some degree. Hand-on physio work's become difficult in the last week, so we have to find different ways of doing that, but a number of those boys are close to returning, and hopefully this time will serve them well. It may impact negatively for one or two, not being able to get that hands-on treatment so much, but hopefully it will sort itself out. And obviously during this same period, Kyle Noyle's had an operation on his shoulder, which is solving an issue he's had throughout the season. So this time for him is time he's not missing, but his recovery from that will be a few months. So hopefully that will sort itself out ready for the new season.
Give us a bit of an insight into the dressing room, Mark. Which players will be most bored? Which one will be kicking their heels around in this period? Who's the sort of the usual player can't sit still?
I don't know. It's probably the younger ones, if I'm honest. The older ones, some of the older ones that are doing degrees and studies and have families and things, I'm sure they'll be kept busy around the house, kept busy with children, kept busy doing their degrees and their work at home. One or two of the younger ones that are energetic and always on the go, we'll probably find it really difficult to be staying indoors, but that's maybe a bit too generic to say the younger ones and the older ones. I'm sure there's some that are finding it really difficult and haven't got as much to do while they're away from football as maybe others, but look, people will find a way through it. We always do. It's not the biggest situation we've had to face so far, and the previous generations that have got through times that are a lot worse than we have, so we're being asked to stay indoors and watch telly, so I'm sure we can cope with that.
Quite right. Financially as well, what are you able to tell us with regards to where the club is at and how it's coping obviously every club you'd imagine is going to struggle and feel implications because of the obviously the lack of gate money, etc. How is the club doing at the minute with regards to the finances?
Yeah, I think there'll be very few industries, very few clubs and very few individuals that don't feel the impact of this. So it's going to have a massive effect. And any business that loses huge income but maintains its expenditure during any period of prolonged period of time is going to find that really difficult. So we're no different. I know that Ian Matho has made some good statements publicly to keep people up to date with that. And everything's going on behind the scenes with the board of directors, with the senior management, with the owner, to try and make sure that we can get through this period and come up with solutions. And obviously help from the EFL, suggestions by the government to businesses and financial support is obviously all really welcomed. And alongside those things, the club have got to put in place as many measures as possible to make sure that we're strong and sustainable and come through this difficult period. We've come through some really tough challenges financially in the past. And the best way that we've done that in the past is by being really united and working our way through it together. So I'm sure we'll find a way through, and somewhere down the line we'll obviously need the supporters' help and support to try and get through that in terms of buying season tickets and getting on board with us. But right now we've got to be there for those people and in the local community to try and help them through this period, because we know when the time comes they'll be there for us, and support has to work both ways.
And of course industries all over the globe, of course, and the UK will need to come together and help each other. It really is a time for togetherness. But with regards to football, do you think EFL clubs will need help from, say, the likes of the Premier League or you know, clubs with more money to try and help them and ease the situation? Because what you don't want is some clubs to really struggle and potentially go under because of this virus and because of the outbreak.
You 100% don't want that. You definitely want people getting through this period, for sure. I think what you'll need is we'll need people to get as much support as possible wherever that comes from. And there's always a suggestion about handouts from the wealthier clubs and the wealthier organisations, but they've also got themselves to look after in this period. You know, if they don't complete the season, I'm sure there'll be huge financial penalties for them from sponsors and from broadcasting rights and everything else. So yes, you'd hope that everyone can join together and support one another financially. But what we've also got to do is, somewhere down the line, this will be used as an opportunity for football to maybe reorganise its priorities and sort itself out, that it doesn't run so close to the line financially. Because what I think this has displayed is, and this isn't just football, just how fragile the world is, that very, very quickly, in such a moment, it can unravel very, very fast. And people can see the difficulties for that. So there may be some way down the line that this has some longer lasting sustainable financial implications for football clubs, but right now I think it's about supporting one another, each club and community really getting around each other, employees within clubs doing their bit to help, and getting through it, because that idea of community and togetherness is what teams are all about, is what sport is all about, and we have to find a way of getting through it, that we do get through it and we come out the other side stronger. And then you like to hope that somewhere in the future, when we build a new team and we go into a new season, there's a real togetherness around the club to really pay that forward and be as impactful as possible in the community and have a real spirit amongst ourselves to drive forward.
Let's move on to something more positive. The community work has been amazing, both from the club and the community trust. Just give us a flavour of some of the things you guys have been doing to try and help out in the local community, in the local area.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the introduction of the community care line, the Here For You scheme. It's a brilliant initiative that the community trusts are driving. And between us all, the club and the trust, we're, you know, they're often highlighted as two separate entities, but really we work hand in hand. And it's really important that the players and the staff and everybody involved gets behind this scheme, because we're there to support people as much as we can. The care line allows people that are isolated and vulnerable to phone in and offer physical support, emotional support, practical support, whether it's picking up groceries, click and collect, or any other bits and pieces. Obviously, the rules socially have changed in the last week, which has made things a little bit more difficult as to what we can do, but picking up groceries for people and medications and things is become a very, very common one. Walking dogs, you know, all those sorts of things are important for those that are most isolated and most vulnerable, and almost housebound for these next few months, weeks and months. And just being there as an emotional support line, I manned the phones on Monday morning as the care line opened and had some really good discussions with supporters and local residents of ways in which we could help. And just being there to speak to people, those that don't necessarily have that support or are struggling with things at work. As a mentally healthy club, we need to try and really develop that relationship with our own staff and with the local community. And that's something that we take really carefully, really seriously, and we're really proud of. And alongside that, contacting as many of our older fan base and season ticket holders. We're working through that database at the moment to see if there's anything we can support. And I think people really value that and really respect the fact that we're doing it. And we're doing it because it's the right thing to do. You know, clubs need to be there to support people and support their city and community. And we need to show that we are more than just a football team.
And if you could, obviously, depend on some of the conversations you have, but just for people who may be listening and I want to get in touch to the Kel. And what were the sort of conversations or things you were chatting about on the phone? Might give us a few bit of insight into some of the stories or conversations you were having.
I've had some great conversations with some season ticket holders that have been coming for 50, 60, 70 years, telling me about their times watching the game. And you know what? Some of it there doesn't need to be an outcome to the call in terms of, right, what can we do for you? What we can do for them is give them 15, 20 minutes of our time having a chat. You know, if someone doesn't have someone to speak to all day or has lots of periods of time in the day where they're isolated or stressed or anxious, sometimes just a really simple conversation can really help people. So I've had some good stories from fans that have told me how many good and bad times they've witnessed during their time as Cambridge United supporters. But I think that's been really useful. And then the other side of that is the practical support. Someone that was on and off the phone in 60 seconds, but incredibly grateful that we've arranged to pick up their shopping from Tesco's in 2 days' time because they're now relieved that they can get the groceries and things that they need because they're not able to leave the house. So, look, things like that are massive. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. There isn't a limit to how long we spend on the phone or what we can offer people. The biggest thing you can give people at this moment is time. And I think people really appreciate that. And the more we can go on doing that and the more we can get involved, the better. And some of the players have got involved with this as well. And I think it's a really good thing to use people's time, but to just show what we are as a club. And we want to build this as a bigger culture, that we're more than just a team on the pitch.
Amazing. Really is just amazing. I guess all of this really just highlights, Mark, how much we all love the game and how much we miss it and perhaps at times take it for granted.
I think that's one thing that this whole epidemic's going to show. We know that the impact's going to be huge. We know that the loss of life might be, that we know that people can lose jobs. All these things are a real worry and a real anxiety for everybody. And alongside that, we have this lovely thing called sport that we love going to and we love being part of. And we have thousands of people that love being engaged with and connected to Cambridge United. And yeah, we do love the club. Yeah, we do love sport. Yeah, we do love the community that it brings. Right now, we have to channel our efforts elsewhere. But I think it will allow us to reassess priorities. It will create stronger communities, better neighbourhoods, stronger, tighter-knit families, perhaps in certain situations, and just make us all really aware of the things that are most precious to us in our lives. And when we do get back to work and we do get back to sport, perhaps it will be a period of time where it will allow people to be really, really focused, understanding how much they do love it, understanding how much they're desperate to stay in the game and be part of it, and drive us all to work harder and more smarter to get more success and stay in employment and stay in the game as long as possible, and ultimately give our supporters and our city a team to be really proud of. That's going to be a tough task that we'll work towards. Everybody will have the same goals. But ultimately, when we do get back, that's what we've got to aim for.
And it really does seem a bit bizarre in these times talking about sport when, obviously, as we said earlier, health is the be-all and end-all, the priority for so many people, for everyone around the world. But if we didn't talk about it and we didn't provide that release for people, then potentially it could have more impacts with regards to mental health. It's such a crucial part of people's lives. And those moments throughout the season, just this season alone, the 4-0 win over Exeter and obviously the 2-1 win over Colchester with the two goals in the dying moments, your first game, you just cherish those moments even more.
You do, yeah. And you know, we all know the priorities at the moment, and we have to keep highlighting those priorities around community, around health, and around the rules that we're all asked to follow. But we shouldn't be embarrassed or anything to say that we miss football. You know, it's something that we love. It's something that we all engage in. And we have to understand that those physical and mental healths are intrinsically linked. So keeping ourselves fit and active can improve our well-being as well. So there's nothing to be ashamed of to say that, oh, we missed that. We're looking forward to that starting again. And to keep in the loop with that news, I agree with you, is an important part of what we're doing here. And it can provide that little bit of distraction from things when we have moments to think and reflect over the football. And you're right, those massive moments of joy in the last few moments when you score goals are great, and you can't replicate those moments very often. Let's be honest, although we don't love them at the time, part of following football, part of being in sport, is the other end exists as well. The frustration, the disappointment with poor performances or bad results, that is sport. You know, it isn't great all the time. It is up and down. And we have to, we get wrapped up in that and so frustrated by that sometimes. But God, right now, we'd love to go through those emotions again right now because of sport. And at some time in the future, they will be there. And that is part of the journey and part of the reason why we do love sport. And as and when it's safe and sensible to do so, it will come back.
Mark, thank you very much for taking your time out of your day to chat to us, and hopefully it won't be too long before we see you on the touchline again very soon.
Pleasure. Thanks for your help. All the best, Ollie.
Live and local. Cambridge 105 Radio. Sports on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So welcome back to a 105 Sports special here on Cambridge 105 Radio, talking about the impacts on local sport that the coronavirus is causing. Let's turn our attention to rugby now, and Cambridge rugby season is over. The RFU announced that the campaign is done and dusted. The Blood and Sand finished ninth in the National One table, ninth out of 16, so just below the middle group. And they finished on 12 wins, 11 losses and 2 draws from their 25 games. They did have 5 more games remaining, but they have all been cancelled. So the Blood and Sands have finished their season. And I spoke to Ben Penfold on rounding up the latest on the campaign, how he would like the season to be resolved. Of course, that's still to be decided. We'll talk a bit about their 6-game winning run as well, their terrific run for the middle of the season, and what rugby players are trying to do to stay in physical shape. So Ben, thanks for joining me. Before we start and come on to what you're up to and the season, how are you feeling? How are things going? How are you coping with being off and not having sport at your fingertips?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. I think it's like when the usual season, when the season's over and you've got summer and you realise, oh, this is what people have weekends and this is what you do at weekends. So, yeah, it's not been too bad. Like, I'm not the biggest gym goer or anything like that, but I've been on a few runs doing a few bits and bobs that we've been set by our S&C team. So I can imagine some of the lads are more frustrated that are constantly in the gym. Obviously, now that we've all been locked down, but for me personally, it's quite nice. It gives I've had a bit of issues with my knee the last couple of weeks, so it gives me a bit of rest on that with regards to the physical impact of rugby. But yeah, no, it's been all right. I think we're at the start of it, so maybe come back to me in a couple of weeks and see what I'm like then.
Are you with your family and friends? What's the living conditions?
So with my girlfriend and housemate who lives with his girlfriend too, so there's 4 of us. So it's actually all right. It's not too bad. We're not cooped up together. It's quite a big house. We've got a big garden, so get out there and stuff like that, like this morning, which is quite nice.
And obviously the level you play at, you have jobs as well. Is that situation cleared up? I know a few people across the country are in whether to still go into work, but
yeah, luckily for me, I've got a job that I can sort of work remotely. Some lads obviously complete wide range of jobs throughout the whole team. Me, I've been doing, obviously with my coaching, we've started up a delivery service for anyone that's in need. So as a community department, we're here to help. So anyone that's self-isolated or anything like that, that's a supporter of the club or anyone really. It started with the members, but we're pushing it out there. Like yesterday, we did delivery for a lady whose son is part of the Minion Youth. So we've advertised that. So if anyone does need any help, please get in contact. We're more than happy to pick up stuff from the shops, deliver it for you. Obviously, we've got advice from the health professionals and stuff of what to do and how to minimalise spreading everything. So, but with regards to work, I've been in contact with the lads that I coach constantly. So sort of set them a few tasks, go through sort of player performance analysis, IDPs and stuff like that with them, just to keep ourselves a little bit busy. So, yeah, it's been all right. Different challenge, but it's quite different.
Let's come on to the rugby quickly before we do that. How can people get in touch with you if they want to? What is the number to call?
The number to call would just be my number, which is 07464 894227. Or if you need to email or want to email, it's community@crufc.co.uk. And as I say, we're here to help anyone. If you look on our Twitter as well, we're promoting it out there.
Brilliant. We'll clarify those details once we're done with you, Ben. But another brilliant initiative in the community. Just spoke to Mark Bonner at Cambridge United, and similarly doing great stuff in the community. With regards to the rugby season, you were sat ninth in the table before it all sort of came crashing to a halt.
Yeah.
What's the latest from the governing bodies? How's the season been resolved?
Yeah, so from the RFU, I think it was last week at some point, they said that all leagues from the Championship down have been ended. So that's the year done. With regards to relegation, promotion in the different leagues, they said they'll come out in mid-April with the latest on what they're going to do there, which I would not like to be the person making that decision. But for us as a club, obviously, we are relatively safe. I think it's also come at a bit of a difficult time because we're on a bit of a run. With regards to the earlier on in the season, we had seven wins on the bounce and then lost a couple and then won one. And then sort of think we could have pulled back our momentum a little bit more.
And looking from an outside in, because obviously you're not one of those sides involved in promotion or relegation, is it easier to make it your mind up on how you think the season should be resolved? I mean, other leagues have flirted with the idea of a points per game or potentially just scrapping all promotion relegation. Have you got an idea in mind?
I think someone's got to be. I personally think they should go, this is it, where you finish, that's it. So if you finish second, you're not in our league, you're not getting promoted. If you finish first, you're getting promoted. But I know people say, oh, they've got games in hands and all that sort of stuff. But I think that's the only way, because then this year's just going to be written off. And you talk about demoralising, like that's massive. And then with the RFU coming out as well, somewhere in the Championship, if you say to them that Yorkshire Carnegie aren't going to get relegated, they've lost every single game and only picked up 2 points throughout the whole year. So how are they not getting relegated? But then on the flip side of that, you go somewhere like Roslyn Park and our league, who are 5 points away from Richmond ahead of second. And they could potentially overtake Richmond and get them promoted to the Championship. So yeah, it's a real sticky one. I personally think they should just walk wherever you finish now. I think that should be it. I really do. I think that should be it. I think it's a bit harsh. Lots of people would be quite annoyed about it, but I think you've got to, in times like this, you've got to make those decisions, haven't you?
With regards to the Premiership, the Championship, and then the feeding down into the national leagues, there's been a lot of talk, obviously, about Saracens this season and their demise. How does this affect them, and then possibly then again that chain reaction further down the leagues?
So I listened to a rugby podcast this morning, and they interviewed the chief exec of Premiership Rugby, and he confirmed, again, it's a podcast, so you never know, but he confirmed Saracens will be relegated. So again, they'll be relegated down. That means then, obviously, the likes of London Irish, who else is down there, Worcester Warriors, and Leicester Tigers will be safe. So that's one thing that was always uncertain. I thought that potentially with this happening, then Saris won't go down. But I think from what I've listened to this morning, with regards to affecting us, it's not too bad, just because obviously it's the league above they're going into. So we're sort of not going to be affected. But again, there's lots of rumours that they might ring fence the Premiership next year. They might dissolve different things, put different tiers in. There's people, again, all their theories out there now whilst there's quite a bit of uncertainty. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. I can't imagine what it'd be like to be a Saracens player, though. It would be an absolute nightmare.
Certainly be worrying times with regards to that in sport. In terms of the season, let's do a quick review then, considering the season looks like it pretty much is over. Ninth in the league. First, are you happy with where you finished? Ninth out of 16, so just below mid-table?
Yeah, I think it's probably a fair reflection of where we're at with regards to the start of the season. So the start of the season, we were losing those real close games and games that we shouldn't have been losing, like Rams. We were getting absolutely pumped at half time, and second half we started to pull it out, and losing at home to Cinderford when third game in, when they had 14 men for probably 60 minutes of the game, like that's we lost to them by 4 points, so that's not good enough. Rotherham away, the next game we lost, we were up and then lost by 4 points. So it's probably a fair reflection. If you go, we score another couple of tries in those games, or we turn over those games that we're real close and ahead, like we have done in the second half of the season, it's a different ball game. So we're probably a fair reflection of where we are. I think we probably deserve to be one or two places higher, but I think with losing those first games, we're sort of playing a little bit of catch up, if that makes sense.
You touched on the winning run earlier on, six games through December to January. Obviously, it's probably the highlight of the season. What was the difference really that made you go from that sort of inconsistent side you touched on at the start of the season to then really, you know, week in, week out getting those wins?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I don't think the coaches obviously were thinking about it. There was nothing, not a huge change. I think there was just more of a mindset change and more of a, like, this can't happen again. So sort of more of a fighting attitude from us, because it can't keep happening. Like, we can't keep losing games by 3 or 4 points or being ahead and then losing. Like, it's massive. So I don't think there was anything hugely that changed. I think it was just more of a mindset change with regards to this is now we're in a fight, because obviously the start of the year we were close to that relegation zone, and you look at the teams that were in it now. So like Moseley, Rotherham, like they put us right to the end of the whistle. So like we only beat them by a couple of points. So that was that fight sort of that we probably had midway through the season to turn those into those six wins on the run.
You mentioned the gym earlier on as well. Obviously, being a rugby player, it's crucial that you stay in top physical shape. You've probably got a bit of a break now, of course, until the season starts again, so it's not as important. But I'm sure you'd be keen to stay in shape. I'm sure a number of the other lads as well be keen to stay in top shape. How can you pretty much do that when you're locked in the walls of your house?
Yeah, it's tough. Like I said earlier, the SSC team has set us a few different challenges. Obviously, we're allowed to go for runs and stuff. So I think it's sort of not completely changing. It's just sort of keeping in what you've been. As I said earlier, I'm not the biggest gym goer. So there's other lads that will be absolutely bored, senseless with regards to what they can do. And I think, we knew sort of this maybe was happening. So I think a few of the lads got sort of bought weights and went and grabbed some weights from somewhere to take home with them. And we've been given different time, different things to do to try and sort of keep us mentally active as well. Like last night we had a first team quiz. So we had a quiz on Zoom and ran by myself. So just something a bit different. It wasn't really that serious, but it was just sort of to keep the togetherness. As I said, we've been together for 30 weeks of the year. So it's not seeing them now is a little bit different. A bit different for me. I live with one of them. So yeah, it's not too bad.
You said quiz. Have you got any more fun challenges or games that you could suggest for our listeners to play?
Nothing as yet. I think house party's kicking off a little bit, isn't it? Everyone's loving that at the minute. So I think the weirdest thing on that is the fact that people pop up and can add into your video chat out all the time. So yeah, there's a few of that, just different quizzes. I think there's a few pub quizzes, online ones going around as well. So I might just look into them and keep myself busy a little bit.
So all the toilet roll and tea bag into mugs, you've done all that, done and dusted?
Yeah, so we've started a sort of a skill school. So community, we thought we'd need to engage with all these 400 kids that are sat at home making their mum and dads go mental. So we've started some videos going out. So we're going to try and get one out every other day with regards to doing little skills that you can do at home. So that will be from just a little bit of handling, catching and passing. And we're going to try and use things as well that they may not have, so like a tackle pad rather than that, just using like a pillow or something that they can use at home. We're also a little bit of tongue-in-cheek stuff with regards to the toilet rolls kicking into the baskets and all that sort of stuff. So we keep posting that just to make me engage with our mini and youth and supporters and other players as well. So something to put a bit of a smile in these sort of darker times.
Ben, thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for taking your time out of your day, and hopefully we'll be seeing you play some rugby and the boys back together not too long in the future.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Welcome back to this 105 Sports special on the coronavirus and its impacts in local sport. Lastly, then, this evening, let's hear from Sawston and Babraham Cricket Club captain Dan Heath. Him and I debated the possible impacts that the virus could have on the cricket season, if at all it goes ahead. This is him talking about local cricket, how it will impact potentially Sawston and Babraham's first season in the APL and a bit wider afield with the county season as well. With regards to how you resolve the season, assuming best case scenario, say all of this washes through, I don't know, end of May, June time, that's probably around about halfway through the cricket season, well, it is anyway at East Anglia Premier League level, which is where Sawston and Babraham will be playing next season. What would you like to happen?
Well, to be honest with you, I would play as much cricket as you possibly can, to be honest with you. I feel the level now we've gone into, to expect people to play a Saturday and a Sunday, it's probably not necessarily that unfair. I'm not saying that it'd be for everybody, and I'm sure there'd be lots of people against that, and there'd be some clubs like, nah, no way, that's never going to happen. I come from a club where that definitely could happen, and if we had to play two games, you know, in a week occasionally, or every other weekend, then it's definitely something we can do. So I'd always, and obviously you've got bank holidays as well, so I'd always go for the more cricket option, the better. It's a long winter. For the lads that don't get a chance to go abroad through family or work or whatever it is, you wait all year for April to play April, September. And obviously when a lot of proportion is taken away through matters out of your hands, very disappointing. So I'd be always up for playing as much cricket as you possibly can. Worst case scenario, I guess you just play one round of fixtures. You just play a quarter games at home, quarter of the games away, and then just do the best you can do, I suppose. But I think also it's a time to be fluid and not to stick to dates, perhaps, as we have before. Look, we just played in the playoffs in September, and I think the game is the 22nd or 23rd, 24th September, and it was, you know, early 20s. So, you know, the weather's still there. Weather in October is genuinely better than it is in April sometimes. So I think now you can't be too rigid with it. You've got to be fluid with it. And also, I think they've probably got to take into account a lot of opinions of the clubs and players that play in the league. I think that's one thing that cricket doesn't do in general very well, is boards and people that administrating the game don't necessarily represent the players that play it. And that's the same at all levels, whether that's probably Premier League or Whiting's 1, Junior 4, whatever it might be. I think the opinions of the clubs and players and how we go, if we do get back on the field this summer, would be massively important.
A silver lining with this virus, and it sounds daft to suggest that, but one of the positives in terms of a sporting sense with this is that it does seem to have got people's creative juices flowing a little bit in terms of new ideas. In football, there's talk of possibly cancelling cup competitions next year, which you would have been mad to suggest perhaps a few weeks ago even. And of course, even counties have suggested playing in October. So it does seem that new ideas that were previously thought, you know, completely radical are now being suggested and slightly plausible.
Yeah, I mean, look, cricket's its own worst enemy 9 times out of 10 through a lot of things. But, you know, this is an unprecedented, possibly once-in-a-lifetime situation, hopefully once-in-a-lifetime situation. And I guess in order to keep the game alive and to keep people playing the sport, you might have to make once-in-a-lifetime decisions. Ultimately, you know, playing in October, is it that radical? Of course, it's never been done before. But ultimately, if you could have done it the last few years because the weather's been as such, then, you know, it just seems a natural thing to delay the season by another 3 or 4 months. Obviously, then you have headaches of football season starting, ground availability, all these sort of things. It's a tricky one.
With regards to leagues lower down than yourselves, or even in the APL, suggesting that teams should maybe, if we get to a scenario where they just play each other once, in the case of a Whiting's league, that may mean potentially only eight games. I think you guys played 16 games last year, so that would be just 8 games in the East Anglia Premier League. I think it would be something around 10, 11, 12 maybe games next season. For your first year back in the APL, or first year in the APL, would you really think it's fair of just playing 10, 11, 12 games and possibly being relegated on just, you know, a handful of games?
Yeah, of course. Look, we can't change that. There are however many games we can play, the amount of games we can play. Obviously, relegation and stuff like that is just part and parcel of cricket, part and parcel of any sport. So ultimately, you know, if you, let's say you end up playing, I don't know, 12 games and you're bottom of the list of the 12 games, you know, you've probably got a pretty pretty good indication that you'd be thereabouts if you played 22 games or 24 games. So it's just part and parcel of sport. Possibly if you're getting into a state of playing 8 or 9 games, that is a little bit different, to be honest with you. And you may have to look at, could you relegate teams from a league playing 8 games? Probably not. I think if you're playing half, you definitely could have the promotion relegation in place.
Of course, then there's a suggestion maybe of just having a 1 relegation spot, 1 promotion spot per league, or even just playing friendly cricket. Is that something that you'd be keen to do?
Not really, to be honest. Obviously, it's better than nothing. But maybe I'd prefer competitive games on the golf course with my dad than playing like 10 or 11 friendlies, to be frankly honest with you. Yeah, it's a difficult one. Look, in terms of the league we've gone into, you know, it's an incredibly difficult league to get promoted to in the first place, because after you've won your league, you've got to win the playoffs as well. So, you know, it's just one of them, really. I think depending on the level you play at, depends how keen you are to play friendly cricket, really. And I'd be very surprised if there's many lads who are playing in that, you know, EAPL Whiting's one, who would be happy to play 10 friendlies all season. I think that would just be just as bad as not playing, to be honest with you.
You'd hope not. You'd certainly hope not. In terms of the financial implications for clubs in general, Dan, what are they? What situation could clubs find themselves in when they return to the grounds and the wickets in say June, July?
I think every club is going to be different, and that's one of the nuances with cricket, I guess, is the fact that every club is different, and they could be different in the same league. They can be different almost in the same town, village to village. Every club is different, so every club is going to have problems that are unique to them. It just depends how clubs are run, I guess. If clubs are run like businesses, if they're run with that sort of head on, where they, you know, really work towards to be successful on the pitch, off the pitch, financially, all these things, then they should be all right. I don't know. Like I say, every club is different. Not having your bonuses, not having your subscriptions, not having your junior cricket, all of these things will obviously play a massive part. You just hope that it doesn't affect clubs too much, because, you know, the game struggled in recent years, and this is just going to be another test for it, really, which probably is the scariest test of all.
Mm. As captain of Sawston and Beveran, what's going through your head currently? What are the thoughts going through your mind about the financial situation?
To be honest with you, I don't really worry about it. It's not really my place to get involved. You know, we're very, well, previously, I guess, there'd be people would suggest that we've not been necessarily run that sustainably. That's completely different now. The club is run very, very sustainably. We've got a very good model. And it's kind of clear from not just our success on the pitch, but, you know, our success off the pitch. People can see, you know, how hard we work with our social media and work with our content and work with sponsors and local businesses and stuff like that. So I'd be, you know, and I also know we've got very good people in charge and very good people at the top that know what they're doing and they know what they want to achieve, and we all pull in the same direction. So from a purely selfish point of view, we're going to be absolutely fine. We'd just be gutting that we worked so hard for the last 2 years to get to this level, and then to kind of have that taken away from you is a bit unfair. But no, I'm fully confident we're going to be okay.
With regards to paying players, obviously it's the debate that goes all throughout the season. We're talking about now in a slightly different circumstances, not whether it's right or wrong, but whether players will get paid, because I guess players will be turning up to play for Sawston or many clubs throughout the CCA divisions or the APL expecting to get money. What's the situation, the case there?
Well, again, it would be on an individual basis, I guess. If clubs are silly enough to pay players for not playing, then you know, that's kind of on their head, really, if they're that daft. Most clubs, to my knowledge, I suspect, would be on a pay-as-you-play basis, so they're not going to lose any money that way. There will be clubs that have forked out for overseas players that are now not going to come. You know, there'll be players on contracts. I don't know how they work. But again, it's a club-by-club basis. If you're paying someone to play cricket and we're not playing, then, you know, that's a risk you've taken in the start, I suppose, and that's kind of, you know, you run close to the wind if you do stuff like that.
What is the situation with your overseas players this season?
So well, we've obviously got one overseas and one technically who's not. So obviously Matthew Haig doesn't count as an overseas for us because he's an ancestry visa. He is due to fly over here on the 31st of March. He's still pretty keen to come. I think he considers himself more English than Australian. So if he can get here, whether or not he'll be allowed to come at that point, who knows? Daniel Stanley, who is coming over again, who is on ancestry visa, he was coming from New Zealand. I don't think we're going to see him now this year. For obvious reasons, it's just,
you know, it's not feasible for us to financially support him. What's the point coming over if we're in lockdown and locked in a room that he doesn't in a country or place where he's been to the UK, but in Cambridge where he's never been before? You know, that's no good for him. It's no good for us. So yeah, it's probably going to be a couple of key players. Obviously, Haggy and our new player Dan, who we might not see this year, or we may see later on in the year if we know we're going to be playing some cricket.
With regards to first class counties, there'll be a number obviously that are probably sweating at the minute a little bit. A couple or a few have been in the media, been in financial difficulty over the last few years before the virus even spread around the world. So they'll be potentially even in even more difficulty now.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the 100 is there to help them. Obviously, not in this way necessarily, and it might not help them indirectly. But yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people worried about that. I think there'll be more of it. You know, everyone's worried. There's no one benefiting from this situation. And cricket, which is already in a struggling situation, is even more in a struggling situation. So yeah, there'd be a lot of counties worried right now.
It really is a challenging position for all. Of course, we say we want the 100 to do well now because of the financial implications. It almost seems like a lose-lose for counties. If the 100 does well, there could be long-term impacts down the line for the 18 first-class counties. If it doesn't go well this year, then the whole of cricket, you feel, will suffer in both the short-term and long-term. Dan, thanks very much for joining us. And fingers crossed, it won't be too long before we're talking about cricket with you very soon again.
Yeah, no problem. Look, let's hope it's not. We're looking forward to the 2021 season because, you know, that's a long, long time to wait. But like we said earlier, you know, health and well-being is much more important right now. But, you know, if we can get something done this year, then that would be brilliant. And everyone, I'm sure, would really look forward to it and love it. So I hope to speak to you a bit more positive, mate.
Thank you, Dan. Cheers.
No problem.
Sport on Cambridge 105 Radio. With the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
So that's all we've got time for this evening. Thanks very much for your company. This show will be repeated on Saturday at 12 in place of the Cambridgeshire Football Show, and then again Sunday at 6 p.m. on From the Terraces. So hope you've had a good weekend if you're listening either on Saturday or Sunday. We'll be back next Wednesday with another 105 Sports Special, all being well, bringing you the latest on the coronavirus in local sport. Thanks once again for tuning in, and until you hear from me next time, stay well, stay healthy, and make sure you stay at home. Thanks so much for listening. See you later.
Cambridge 105 Radio.